This is CliffCentral.com. CliffCentral. The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com. Animal Central on CliffCentral.com.
Hello and welcome to Animal Central on CliffCentral.com. This is the only show in South Africa dedicated to animals and the people that love them. Today is a very exciting day for me because as of today, I am your permanent host. Lucky for me, possibly unlucky for you, but the amazing Sharon Dale has hung up her microphone for now and will be focusing on her magazine work. I wish to thank her for her dedication to the show and for eyeing me up as her replacement. I've got very big shoes to fill, but I'm very excited and ready for the challenge. So I've called in quite a couple of my friends today for moral support because it is a public holiday, and I've also brought my Gus in to studio for moral support. So if you hear some odd noises in the background, it's Gus, it's none of the guests or myself, I promise. As we all know, today is the Day of Reconciliation, which is a day aimed to foster reconciliation and unity after apartheid. Now, I would very much like to extend this aim to animals too, and I've called in my best friend onto the show, Danielle Ashcroft. How's it, dude?
How's it?
because I'm using her as a guinea pig. There are so many animals in this world that people hate or are afraid of, and it's usually because these animals are quite smart and they've been able to adapt and live alongside us in urban areas, and sometimes they find their way into our homes. So Danielle is my best friend. She's been best friends with me since, what, we were how old?
Oh, 16, 17?
Yeah, we were tiny whippersnappers. Yeah. And Danielle's never really shared my obsession with animals. I've always been a bit of a crazy animal person, and Danielle's just looked at me a bit weirdly. So Danielle's found herself in a very, I think it's fortunate, but for her and most other people would think it is unfortunate situation. Would you like to explain to our listeners what's happened?
Yes. So in the space of 1 week, I've had 4 bats in my house. 2-bedroom place, 4 bats. Not ideal.
And these bats, they've been live?
Yes. One crawling on my bedroom floor, another flying around my bedroom, and 2 crawling up the back of the couch while I'm eating dinner.
So as you can imagine, this was very traumatic, and Danielle actually left her house. She moved out.
I actually had to pack up my bags and leave for the night.
So she is now fondly known as Batgirl. But as you can imagine, this is a bit, it is traumatic. I think it's really cool because I'm an animal freak.
Of course you would.
Yes.
But
I'm very proud of you. So the reconciliation that I'm talking about is that some people would have killed them.
Yes.
And you didn't.
My first thought was to get a can of Doom and kill it.
Oh, God.
But I thought, no.
Listeners,
no,
you cannot use Doom on mammals or animals.
No. And it was just too freaky. And I thought, no, there's no ways. I'll probably have bad luck for the rest of my life.
Great.
So next best thing, Tupperware the thing and chuck it outside and let it free.
It's brilliant. So you did the right thing by not killing them. It's been very unfortunate that there are so many that have come into your house. I think I had a suss out of her place last night over a couple of glasses of wine. And I think what's happened is you've got, there must be a roost somewhere. So they're breeding somewhere near. And these are the juvenile, because I saw the photo of the bat that you showed me. These are young bats.
Yeah.
So they are just learning how to fly and feed and all of that. And they're coming in through your windows. So the reconciliation that I'm speaking to is that you've done a very good thing by not killing the bats.
Yeah.
And I want you now to work on this week by opening your windows again, because it's not healthy to live in a house with permanently closed windows.
Or next best thing, just get aircon installed.
Yes, okay, that's also a very safe solution. So I would like to take my hat off to my best friend for reconciling her phobia with bats and for not killing them. So listeners, if Danielle can do this, you can do this. So this applies to snakes that make their way into your house. If a wild animal comes in, they're just looking for food or shelter generally, and if you don't mess with them, they're not going to hurt you. I had a thrush fly into my house this morning. Gus tried to hurt the thrush though, so Gus doesn't get a point for reconciliation today.
Okay.
But we'll work on that.
Thanks, matey. I'll try my best.
Well done, Dan. Well done. Yeah. Good job. So now I have two wonderful other guests. It's not just about my best friend and my dog today. I have two other wonderful guests. One is also my friend. We study together. Her name is Dr. Nolene van den Berg, and she's a vet from Fairlands Vet.
Hello.
Hi, Noles. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
And then we have the wonderful Tanya Null from Canine Best Friends.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
So I think that it's important that we have a chat today on what I theme Christmas cruelty, because it's such an awesome time of year for humans and we all get very festive and have a great time and have a holiday, but it's actually a really bad time of year for dogs and cats and the animal welfare organizations, people and shelters that care for these animals. Mm-hmm. Tanya, you obviously experience a lot of this. Tell us a bit about Canine Best Friends.
Canine Best Friends is something that was born out of I've been involved in animal welfare for a number of years mm-hmm. now, and just arriving here today, I've had a number of phone calls. The holidays have just started and a lot of people are only leaving on holiday now. And I've come from boarding kennels where an organization, Paws Rice, that I've also been involved in for a very long time. Board rescue animals along with people that actually go on holiday, and we're just going into the holiday season now, but already there's so many dogs and cats that are stray because people go on holiday, they don't think about who's looking after the dogs and cats. They either leave them with the domestic workers or the gardeners or somebody else, or they have friends and family or the neighbors taking care of those dogs and cats. People don't really take on the responsibility as they should. They don't really worry about it as they should. It's not their responsibility. Exactly. So they don't really worry about it as they should. They just go and put down some food and water. We have a heat wave. Thankfully, we've had some rain in the last few days, but the last couple of weeks we've had terrible heat waves. The dogs and cats don't get enough water. They go and look for water elsewhere. So we've already seen a lot of stray animals, and we're just now going into people actually going on holiday. Exactly. So we're seeing an enormous number of cats and dogs that are stray. And we get the calls, and people just don't bother looking for their dogs and cats.
That's awful.
So that's a terrible part of this time of the year for us in animal welfare. Just to answer your questions in terms of Canine Best Friends, it's just I've started that as a freelance just to help network and rescue, etc. It's more from a behavior point of view. I do a lot of behavioral work for organizations and networking and rescue work that we do. But it's part of a very wide network. I mean, there's so many organizations out there that do this similar type of work that we do. And this time of the year, we need a lot of help from the public out there. The general public, and we ask people that own animals that they just take a little bit of extra care this time of the year.
And you have to. I mean, it's not, people don't realize how much more there is to owning a dog or a cat. I mean, obviously, they're slightly aware of the costs, the veterinary costs, but then your boarding fees as well. I mean, it costs a lot. And it's quite interesting, because when I was doing a bit of research about this, I thought, maybe I'll have like the Pet Sitters Association on, and I was quite shocked to find that there isn't one.
No.
I was going to say, did you manage to find
one? Yeah. So, Nolene, because that for me is concerning, because you're a vet. You're a vet because you studied and you're qualified, and that's how you're a vet. But what makes someone a pet sitter?
Someone that says they'll do it, I suppose.
There isn't. I don't think there is actually such a thing. No. And I think I understand the challenge for people wanting to go on holiday. I do understand that. And I understand that. And I mean, kennels this time of the year, boarding kennels are full.
Yeah, exactly.
This is
they're full months in advance. You need to book months in advance.
It's a wonderful time of the year for them. I understand that as well. But I think if people... they get a lot of. They have family and friends that stay behind. Mm-hmm. They have, and they pay their children or university students to do that. I mean, there's they can ask around and they can get that done. But I think it's just explaining the responsibility better.
Yes,
and having that
and having checks and balances. Like so generally Gus comes with me, hopefully, and my cat does not like to travel, so the cat stays at home. So I always have someone who stays in with the cat. I'm like a neurotic housewife. I check. I want updates all the time and photos and all of that. So
it's just there not is enough.
duty of care. Even if you're on holiday, yeah, you're having an awesome time, but you need to check up. And also, you know, it's not fair to expect domestic workers and gardeners and that to take on a responsibility that they aren't.
There's just simply not enough care.
Educated, exactly. Oh no, it's very bad. And I mean, even you hear horror stories of people rocking up at shelters or vet practices, and they're like, "Oh well, I'm going on holiday, so I'm getting rid of my dog. I'll get a new one when I get back."
That's it.
Yes.
Either they give them up for adoption, mm-hmm. or they'll come in and yes, the dog is maybe old. It's 8 or so, but it's got a good 4 or 5 years to go still. You know, and they're like, "Oh no, put it to sleep because it's so old." But in actual fact, they're just going away.
They're just being selfish,
and they're not interested in looking after the dog or making arrangements that the dog is looked after properly.
It's just too easy to get rid of animals.
That's the trick.
It's just too easy.
It's
to
too
get
easy
a new one.
To get animals. Mm. It's too easy to get animals, and it's too easy to get rid of them. Mm.
Exactly. And it's just and I do have, and you know, we get frustrated, especially with some of the vets that don't take in strays. But you know, some of the vets nowadays don't take strays. Yeah. We get the good vets like Nolene that still take in strays, but some veterinarians don't take strays anymore. So you have that problem. Where do you go with the strays?
Exactly.
And they get lumped into rescue organizations or.
Yeah.
You just don't have. There's nowhere to go with
these animals. And it's not even their responsibility. It's actually the municipality's responsibility.
Correct. And the SPCAs are full.
Yeah, exactly. So. And the government or the municipality is, you know, not supporting any of the welfare organisations with that in terms of catching strays or even housing, feeding the strays. So this time of year is really not. Mm. Not good for animal welfare, and we as South Africans, I think we should shoulder a lot of blame for that, because I think we've got a culture that doesn't show enough care. I mean, I worked in London for 4 years, and the culture there was completely different, because in London, in that it was a bit to the extreme. So you know, people will own Labradors in fourth floor apartments and keep them in cages.
It's a different
but
mindset.
They run them. Yes. They take them for runs 4 times a day.
Yes.
You know, when I was working at the emergency clinic, I get phone calls at 4 o'clock in the morning. "Hello, yes, I've just taken my greyhound for a run in the park." I'm like, "It's 4 o'clock in the morning in winter in England. What?"
I've also seen that.
What? So yeah, it's a tricky thing. And then, I mean, vet clinics this time of year are also mad. What are some of the common things that you're seeing?
Mostly skin cases, itchy skins, and then. You know, unfortunately, you've got your drunk owner that runs over the dog in the driveway.
That happens so often,
stuff like that,
because people are having a duel and... Oof.
Yeah, everyone's happy and it's, you know, the silly season. And, you know, even though we shouldn't be driving drunk, people are.
Yes.
And then what happens is oops,
yep.
The dog was in the driveway or the dog ran out to greet you and then got driven over. So that's, you know, the emergency clinics also.
Yeah.
Working overtime, people are going out late, you know, having dinners, having Christmas parties and stuff, and then 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, where do you go with your dog?
Exactly. And I think that's an important thing. I think that the general public don't realize that vets take holidays too, and they're entitled to. So you can't expect your small, ordinary veterinary practice to be open 24/7.
Exactly.
They outsource that to specialized emergency clinics, and, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to pay a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but that's how it
fees.
Works. That's just how it works. And getting irate and... That doesn't make a difference, you know. You can't expect your vets to work all the time.
No.
And you need to understand, accidents will happen out of hours.
Exactly.
It's like Murphy's Law.
Yes.
Like, it's like kids and...
Exactly.
You know, nobody ever breaks a leg at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
At 2 o'clock on a Monday.
2 o'clock in the morning.
Exactly. So that's something that really people need to get a grip on and realize. And the services are limited. They're not that many emergency clinics, but each vet will have their out of hours clinic that does service them, and it's obviously a very important role. I think also one of the things that I'd like you to talk about is things that dogs eat this time of year.
That's also, there's lots of chocolates and cakes and yummy goodness sort of lying around and
that's poisonous to dogs.
And parties and stuff like that. Yeah, so your normal chocolates, raisins, nuts.
Yeah.
You know, also getting to very fatty foods can cause issues
tummy
with
upsets.
The pancreas and tummy upsets and stuff like that. So if you are having a braai, please be careful. You know, don't ask
bones.
Your guests. And bones. Don't feed any bones. Oh my goodness, Gus.
Gus is having a reverse sneeze in the background.
Yeah, so
he's not liking this topic very much.
Yeah, he's like,
I want bones.
Yeah, please. Like, bones are just, they are the absolute worst things that you could give your dogs. Yeah. I mean, so many times I've seen bones crack teeth, bones get stuck in gums, bones get stuck in intestines, mm-hmm. and then it's a 10,000 rand operation to go and get that bone out of your dog's intestine. And sometimes the dog doesn't make it after you've done that op, you know.
It's a big op. It's
a very big op.
And that's all bones. All bones. Cooked bones, raw bones, chicken bones.
Any bones.
Pork bones, any bones. Nobody, no bones are good bones.
Yeah. No bones are good bones, exactly.
Gus
exactly.
is very, very deprived. I'm a cruel, very cruel mother, he thinks, because I don't let him have bones.
You need to find safe chewing toys, you know. And
those I found his favorite thing on this whole planet is ostrich sinew.
Okay.
You get them the dried. Yeah. He loves them, and those are really good, and they help clean his teeth and all of that. So exactly. they are healthy treats.
And just be responsible. I mean, make sure that you watch him when he chews that, when they looking a bit disgusting and all chewed up and stuff, chuck them out, get a new one.
Exactly, that's important.
Rope toys are great. They also clean teeth really well, but play with your dog with them because, and make sure they're size appropriate, you know. Always make sure that it's much bigger than your dog is, so that they're not going to swallow it.
Oh, that's clever. That's quite important.
Yeah.
So I think also one of the big problems this time of year and other times of year is fireworks, the bane of all of our existence. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I wish they would actually outlaw those completely.
I know, but I don't know if that's a wish we're ever going to get to. I hope so, because it's so unnecessary. I mean, so what are some of the experiences that you've had with fireworks?
Well, I think, and again, that the thing that we see is that, and that's, you know, we're never going to probably win that fight. Is that when dogs do then get out, apart from the injuries that you see when they do try and escape the property, because unfortunately dogs, when they hear the fireworks or the noise, they think that it happens in their property, and if they escape, they're not going to hear it somewhere else. Yeah. They're not going to, they're running away from the noise from their property. Stray animals, and something that we would like the public to do more of is to microchip the animals so that, you know, when we pick them up, that we can identify them. You know, whenever I see a stray dog, I pray that when I pick it up, we would be able to identify it so that we can return it back to the owners. And also to collar and identify, you know, to tag the collar and tag the animals so that we can get that them, return important. Them to the owners. And do both. Yeah. We always ask that people do both. For, you know, because a collar, you know, microchip, not all people know to take the animal to be scanned for a microchip. But in a collar is convenient in a tag, because you can immediately phone the number on the tag and return them to the owner. And a microchip, they have to still take to somebody with a scanner so that they can so that we can get them back to the owner.
And Nolene, how do people go about getting their animals microchipped?
Any vet will do it. A lot of the welfare organizations, so like your SPCAs and stuff, will do it as well. And then cost is dependent on what microchip they're using. So it'll range from between 150 to 550 rand for a microchip. Just depends on the type of microchip they're using. I mean, there's a couple of companies out there that do the microchips.
Okay.
It's such a great thing when the dog comes in and you put the scanner over it and you hear that little beep. It's so excited. But people also then need to realize they need to keep the numbers and their addresses and stuff up to date. So when you're changing your address or so, you know, make sure that, you know, the bank must know and everything. Make sure that the microchip people know where you live now.
Exactly.
Because I've had it before where a dog comes in and you're like, oh, great, a microchip. And you phone the number. Oh, this number doesn't exist anymore. Or, oh, no, we gave the dog to somebody else like 8 years ago. And, you know, we don't know what their number is anymore. Yeah. And so frustrating. So,
but I think it's important. Can you explain exactly how a microchip works? Because I think some people are under the misimpression that it's like a car tracker. And you've got this magic thing. And then you phone a number and it can like zoom in on the map and there's your dog. By the way, if they make that, Gus would have that. But
we'll
just explain
there. We'll get there.
Okay, really?
Yeah, I think there's stuff.
It does exist.
And it'll become much more accessible in the future. You see, the problem with GPS stuff is it runs off a battery. So There's no little battery powering the microchip. So they, I think the technology is now that they're going to use the kinetic energy from as the dog walks and runs away and stuff like that, that then that, that will power the GPS tracker, and you'll be able to actually put it on your cell phone and have a look. There's stuff that you can put on their collars now, so little tags and stuff that can go on the collar that like will keep them in a specific radius, will let you know on your cell phone if they've gone out of that radius. So you can mark your
fence
your
line,
fence line as that. But, you know, no, at the moment, microchips don't work like that.
Yeah.
They're just a little microchip that goes into underneath the dog's skin. And then as you put a scanner over it, will come up with a number. And then that number is registered on a network. So depending on the different companies all have different numbers.
Okay.
And then depending, you can see what their numbers are, you can phone that company. And that company has your details. And that's why it's important to keep your details current with that company. And then they'll give it to the vet or welfare organization or wherever the dog has landed up. And then we contact you directly and say, you know, we have Fluffy, you know.
Brilliant.
And you can pop through and pick Fluffy up. But yeah, we're gonna it's gonna get to a time where you can actually GPS your dog.
Guzzy, I'm gonna spy on you. Oh, that's brilliant. Oh, okay. So listeners, please, we don't bite. You can get hold of us on our
unless you're a bat.
Then yeah, bats don't bite. They're friends. Bats are friends, not enemies. Reconciliation, remember.
How big were these bats, by the way?
They were just little Cape Serotine bats. They're about the size of a thumb.
No, they were bigger.
Rubbish.
They were about the
size. They seem bigger. Like a palm size.
Okay, my thumb's bigger. They're about the size of my thumb. It's a Cape Serotine. I saw the photo.
South American fruit bats this size.
Come now, we're not in a fishing expedition. We don't need to exaggerate. No, it was a Cape Serotine bat. Well, the photo that you showed me, which is a common bat species. They are insect eaters. They don't suck your blood, and they will not fly into your hair. A bat is able to echolocate a mosquito to eat it. That is how like fine tuned their system is. So they're not going to fly into your hair.
Yeah. I want those in my house.
I also want. I would love to have
some mosquitoes.
Yeah. You can have mine with pleasure. If I find those. Another one, I'll.
No, you won't
keep it in a Tupperware for you.
No,
we do not keep things in captivity, Danielle. Remember.
You can do whatever you want with them.
I wish my dogs would kill them, but I'd love to have one of those in my house.
What would my tortoise do with it?
Oh, fuck. Oh, excuse me. Yes. So Danielle knows how to really, really grind me. I am, obviously, as everyone knows, an avid wildlife lover, and I'm completely opposed to the keeping of wild animals as pets. And I was absolutely horrified. How many years ago?
Oh, no. Maybe 10 years now.
10 bloody years ago when my bloody best friend came to me and said, I want to get tortoises. Oh, Gus is just having a real sneeze. So I'm very embarrassed to say that my best friend has tortoises as pets. They are kept outside in the garden. Gus, it's having a snork.
Sounds like a pig.
Yes, he is quite pig-like. Yes, but so that's a sore topic of... Oh, thanks, I'm so happy you brought that up. But no, the tortoises would do nothing about the bats because tortoises are tortoises and bats are bats.
Yeah,
tortoises eat grass. And should be in the wild, eating wild grass.
As opposed to domesticated grass.
As you can tell, we've had this conversation more than once. But at least Danielle has got two male tortoises, so they're not breeding. But they are in love with each other. Yeah,
they're gay tortoises. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. You have an open tortoise situation. So, as I was saying, we don't bite. We're actually quite a lot of fun, especially today. I should bring my friends in on the show more often. This is quite fun.
And see if I can just quickly just jump back onto the fireworks thing.
Yes.
Just to, I digress onto the microchipping and the strays, but if people, just with regards to fireworks and if they know that that's going to happen, especially around New Year's.
Yes.
If they can keep their animals just enclosed.
Okay.
As
opposed to like in the garden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just the safest option. Try and keep them as calm as they can. They can get some over-the-counter calming medication.
Yeah.
Something like Calm Ease or...
Anxietane
or something like that.
But Nolene, it's quite important that these dogs are seen by a vet would you say if your dog's got a severe firework phobia?
If your dog has got a very severe firework phobia, then you need to take it into your local vet, let them do a clinical exam on the dog, and then prescribe certain medications. Yes. that usually we will give a Valium derivative plus okay. something like the Calmies or the Anxietane, just to help take the edge off things. It's yeah. never going to make your dog okay with what's going on. You're going to have to stay home. You're going to have to stay home, put loud music on, the TV loud or whatever. Stay home. Make sure you're there to help your dog. There's nothing we can give that's going to sedate your dog because mm-hmm. that's unfortunately unsafe. You know,
yes.
we can only sedate when there's a vet present.
Yes.
And we're doing a procedure or something like that. So this is just something that just, you know, we'll take the edge off a okay. little bit. But it's important to sort of make plans to be there on New Year's.
Yes.
Especially if you live in a neighborhood that's, you know,
prone to fireworks.
Have lots of fireworks. You know, it's really, really important. And that's like Tanya says, dogs hurt themselves. I've seen dogs jump through windows, lacerate, you know, ephemeral vein. So there was just blood everywhere.
Did it make it?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Actually did.
Well,
yeah.
Go, doctor, no need.
You know, dogs will jump through windows. Dogs will try to get over fences. There's plenty of pictures in the media and stuff about dogs that have impaled themselves on fences and stuff, just trying to get away from noises and stuff like that. So it is important that you make sure that you're home with your dog.
Yeah, and if you know that you've got a dog that is particularly susceptible to fireworks, you do need to take precautions and really be active.
Well, I think that almost all dogs are scared of. I mean, it's just nothing that no animal enjoys loud noise like that.
Yeah,
there's just no animal, even if they're not afraid of thunder or lightning, when it comes to fireworks,
it's
that's
different.
Just terrifying for any animal to, and especially if it happens in their garden or right next door or across the road, it's just terrible for them.
And all the
and they're
going to
try and get away from
as
that.
Well, because then you've got a dog that tries to bite it or children. It's just so unnecessary. Mm.
Exactly.
Why can't people get their jollies off in different ways?
Yes.
Yeah.
Really.
Light to sparkle in.
Exactly. Just have a glass of wine.
Yeah, exactly. The only popping woo on here is champagne cork.
Exactly. So you can get us on our number, which is 0861-555-189 if you want to call in. Otherwise, we're on Twitter at cliffcentral.com. Or you can get hold of us on WeChat. Our ID is Cliff Central. To do that, you send us a message. You tap connect and then message to show. So we're going to have a quick little music break now. And I'm going to steal some kisses from my dog, Gus.
This is CliffCentral.com. Cliff Central. I've got something important to tell you. Cliff Central. Download the Cliff Central app. Available now on the Apple App Store and Google Play Store. Animal Central on cliffcentral.com.
That was the awesome song X's and O's by Ellie King. It's one of my favorites at the moment. So we are back after our little break. I've got Tanya Nell from Canine Best Friends, Dr. Nolene Funneberg from Fairlands Vet, and my hashtag BFF, Danielle. We've been talking about Christmas cruelty and some of the problems that animals face over the festive season, and we're going to talk more about dogs and cats, but I think I also just want to have a little mention about where people are going on holiday to now. So most of the Lucky Valleys are going down to the beach. So that's an awesome break for obviously us people who don't have the beach near us. And I think there's an interesting thing that I heard today. There was a killer whale, a dead one found, I think, in PE, was it?
Oh, my goodness.
That beached. It's amazing.
Bizarre.
You know, killer whales don't come up this way very often.
Yeah.
So I wonder, I'm sure we'll hear what it died of as it progresses. But those poor holidaymakers, that is a bit of a sight because, you know, a killer whale is quite a large animal. And the removal of whales and that from the coast beaches.
I can imagine that would be a very big job.
Yeah, it's quite a big job. So... yeah, but I think important when you're on the beach, you need to respect the fact that it is nature. It is a natural area. So you need to be very considerate of your littering, please. You know, driving on pristine beaches is not okay. I think that happens a lot more up Mozambique way. Not so much here, but don't drive your vehicles on beaches. Don't litter. If you're a fisherman, please be very, very cautious of where you're leaving your fishing line or your fishing nets, because that causes a lot of harm to a lot of different animals. So just be conscious of the wildlife and the areas that you're in, and just be respectful. That's my preach for the day. Then I think another topic that we definitely need to speak about is the giving of animals as gifts.
Yeah.
Noel, your thoughts on that?
You know, it's okay. If you're going to give a puppy or a kitten as a gift, that's okay. Just make sure that you've planned for it. You know, if you're a mom or a dad giving your child a gift, make sure that you know that your six-year-old is not going to feed and pick up poop and stuff. You're the one that's going to be doing that. So make sure you've planned as a family to have an extra member of the family.
Mm-hmm.
If you are a friend or so and you are wanting to give a puppy or kitten to another friend, don't do it until you've really discussed it with them. You know, lots of people are very well-meaning and, you know, they'll see a cute puppy and think, oh, you know, Bob will love that. And all they do is get, you know, make sure you've discussed it with your friend beforehand, before doing it, you know. An animal is a lifetime commitment. Yeah. Make sure everybody's on board. Making sure that it's a lifetime commitment and that it's going to be part of the family. It's not just going to be loved for a day or 48 hours or something and then put outside and forgotten about, you know. So
and that they've got the financial means.
Yep. Exactly.
And even silly things. It'll never be a surprise.
Exactly. And I mean, even silly things like nowadays, we all live in complexes and there's body corporate rules. So, you know, I think it's crazy. You can't buy someone a live animal as a gift. Like someone that's, yes, children if they're part of your family or, you know, possibly if it's your girlfriend or your boyfriend and you've been speaking about making space for an animal, then yes. But I think also what's important is that if you're going to do that, it has to come from an adoption shelter.
I also think so.
Don't buy from pet shops.
I rehomed a Jack Russell a while ago that was given as a surprise 21st birthday gift. To a girl that works with me. Yeah, and she, when he was 9 months old, Nadine actually neutered him. She came to me and she said to me, she loves him. Yeah. She loves animals. But it just came at such a bad time in her life. And I her friend knew that she loves animals and she's always wanted a dog, but she didn't want one at 21. And she didn't, and it just came at such a bad time in her life. And she really tried to fit him into her life. And she
that's so cool, because the guilt that she must feel, and it's not her fault. Yeah, I mean, you know, the guilt, and you put these
She felt terrible.
How can you say no to a puppy?
Mm. We found him a fantastic home and it has a happy ending. But still, she said to me that she really did not want a dog.
Yeah.
And she took him and she tried to fit him into her life. And at 9 months old, she said to me, she can't give him the life that he needs. She wants to travel. She goes out and she goes on out and she goes out with her friends and she goes away for weekends. And he just doesn't fit into her life.
Oh,
and
that's heartbreaking.
And it was horrible of her friends to give her that's really a surprise 21st birthday gift.
Boo on you. That's not very good. Oh, man. I think, as you said about neutering, that's also something that I will harp on until the day that I die. It is so important for people to sterilize their animals. And I think this Christmas, you should give the gift of giving by not letting them give birth.
Exactly. Yes. If your animal is not yet spayed or neutered, please get it done. Mm. You know, a lot of people will come into the practice and say, oh, but they just want the dog to have one litter, and it drives me mad, because you're not a breeder.
Exactly.
More than likely, you're not breeding a highly pedigreed dog or cat. And what happens is that dog or cat has six offspring. And then those
offspring have six offspring each.
And
there you've created a whole disaster.
The argument that we get, like Nolene says, is we get a lot of people saying that they want their children to experience the miracle of puppy or kitten birth. If they want to see it, they can get in touch with me, or they can get in touch with a rescue organization like ARC Animal Center or Kitty and Puppy Haven. They have a lot of pregnant, about to give birth females, and they can go and experience it there if they want it, and they can see it. Or they can just Google, and they can YouTube and see it on YouTube if they want to.
It's such a rubbish excuse.
They don't have to actually have.
Did they have to meet dinosaurs? Did they have to touch dinosaurs to believe in dinosaurs?
No.
Are they going to go into theatre with their auntie and watch her give birth?
Exactly.
No.
Yeah. Exactly.
So if they really want to experience it, there's a lot of we get a lot of highly pregnant females that we rescue out of townships and out of other areas where we can that are too late to do anything about, that we unfortunately have to have the birth.
Yeah.
And there's constants of them. So if they really want to experience it, and I'm being a little bit facetious, but if they really want to experience it, we can arrange for that to happen if they want to.
Yeah.
And it still happens around all the time. Okay. So
thank you.
I don't understand why they really have to experience
it. I think it's a rubbish excuse.
Because as soon as the puppies are born and the kittens are born, then they realize how much work it is and how much effort it is, and then they have to take care of it.
Yep.
And if mommy doesn't want to feed, then they have to feed, and it's just, I don't understand. And then they have to find homes for them, and then they just dump them at an organization or at the SPCA or somewhere. So I really do not understand why they actually have to experience that. It really does not make sense.
And these people who are also like, oh, but my dog never leaves the yard. You cannot say that with certainty.
No, you can't.
You cannot.
Mm. No, you can't. It just takes one little lapse in judgment or somebody coming in, a paver or a builder or the pool man or the gardener or whatever. Mm-hmm. And there's the dog out the gate and gone. Yeah. And
Tanya, you said an interesting fact that pretty much every single stray dog that you find is an intact male dog.
Yes. And if you just go onto Facebook, or especially Facebook, if you just have a look, every single stray male dog or every single stray dog that you see is an unneutered male.
Yeah.
And the majority of them are. In fact, we don't find a neutered dog.
You don't really. Yeah.
No. And that's so important. I mean,
and they're the ones that go wandering. Exactly. They're the ones that go wandering.
So you say, oh, your dog keeps on getting out of your yard and escaping. Well, one easy solution is to sterilize them. And I think people don't realize there's so many health benefits to neutering your animals. Do you want to talk about that, Noli?
Yeah. So for your male dogs, prostate cancer, enlarged prostate, prostate hyperplasia, and testicular cancer.
Really?
You know? So those are the benefits to reduce risks
by castrating them.
By neutering them. For your females, so if you neuter your spay your female before her first heat, the chances of her getting breast cancer are zero.
Oh, wow.
And then later on in life also uterus infections and certain types of cancers. At the moment there is a drive coming out of the first world countries where, you know, maybe sterilizing the after their sexual maturity prevents bone cancer, but it's a big, you know, there's a big debate raging at the moment, and Tanya can say, you know, a lot of on Facebook people are like, oh, but you know, you don't actually have to sterilize. The thing is that it's like I see your 3% bone cancer versus your 5% of this type of cancer, and you have to weigh up the benefits. I think the bigger problem in this country is about having so many dogs that are put to sleep because there are no homes for them, and that comes from you know, unsterilized dogs that are bred or you know, and then you have 12 puppies that you don't know what to do with, and you just, it's so easy to get rid of them, take them to the SPCA, leave them there, walk away, you know, it's not your problem anymore. So rather get your animal sterilized earlier, you know, 6 months of age,
and they're just they're much better animals. I mean, I got Gus because he was rehomed because he was aggressive.
Aggressive, look at that face, he's not aggressive.
Nice. I mean, the only reason he was aggressive is because he had his balls and he was in a house with other dogs that had their balls. So they fought because that's a natural behavior.
It's dominance. I got Gus, animals.
Castrated him, and he's a delight.
Exactly.
He goes to dog parks, all the dog parks. He friends with big dogs, little dogs, pigs, horses, you name it. And I mean, he is a much easier dog to manage now. The first, because obviously he still had the remnants of testosterone left in his system when I first adopted him. Mm. And it's, you know, It looked like it was exhausting with all of those hormones for him because he was just constantly.
They're so vigilant and stuff.
Yeah, whereas he's chilled out now.
It doesn't, people worry that it affects their personality, especially the male dogs. It doesn't. Mm-hmm. It just takes down
the edge off.
The edge, It just takes the edge off, makes him a lot more relaxed about life, a lot more easygoing.
Yeah.
And a lot more trainable, actually.
That's true. So, his attention span has definitely improved.
He's still a lot more.
Yeah, he still has to pee on all the trees. Every single tree. Every tree.
It's pee mail.
Yeah, no, totes. But he doesn't pee inside, just on the trees. So, Nolene, we were chatting a bit in the break about the microchip, and you were saying that there's some amazing, very clever thing.
Oh, yes. Get Me Known, they do a thing for the holidays, which is flag a responsible person. So, you can put on temporarily, you know, if your neighbor or whoever's looking after your dogs and cats at home, you can put their number as the first option to phone.
Okay.
Just for a while, in case sort of you're going to be overseas or something like that and you're going to not be able to reach you. We know who's pet sitting your animals and who to phone, you know, immediately when an animal comes in. Something else to do as well is, you know, just go before you go on holiday, go and chat with your vet, and just make an arrangement that if something does go wrong while you're away, that whoever's looking after your pets can bring them in, and you guys can either sort out a bill, you know, when you get back, or you can EFT it, or you can even put money, you know, sort of into the vet's account, just sort of as a temporary, you know, thing to say, okay, well, you know, just in case something goes wrong, you already have the money, so go ahead. But just make sure that, you know, if you are getting a pet sitter in, that they know who to take your animal to, because it's very difficult if suddenly, you know, I'm seeing an animal for the first time, but maybe it's a chronic condition.
Yeah.
You need to take it to the vet that always sees your dog and cats, and make sure that they know where to go and how to get a hold of them.
True. No, that's very important. And I think also, if you are like me and you take your pet, your dog with you on holiday, I think you need to also be quite attentive to their safety in the car. Because if they're loose in the car, I mean, I look at little Gus and he'd just be like a rugby ball. He'd go straight through the window.
Exactly.
So it's important. There are a variety of contraptions. You know, if your dog is crate trained, put them in the crate, or get a harness and attach them to the seat some way. Make sure that you've got your fresh food and water and a comfortable bed for them.
Make sure you stop a lot, let them out, pee, get water and stuff.
Yeah.
And there are some medications. Again, you need to take your dog or cat into the vet to get those medications that will help with car sickness.
Okay.
So if you know that your dog gets sick in the car, so go through to your vet, take your dog with or cat with, let them do a clinical exam, and then they can give you medication for that.
That's very good advice. I think also what's important is that you need to have some sort of sign that you've got animals in your vehicle. I've got a little dog on board sticker, like, you know, people have baby on board, because if there's an accident, if you're in an accident, there should be some sign saying, listen, there are animals, you should look for them, and also possibly who to contact in case of emergency for the animals, because if you're knocked unconscious and your animals are there. So I saw there is some clever people on Pinterest and Facebook and that who do little cards that you can put in your wallet saying, listen, if you find me and I've got my animal with me, please contact so or so or whatever, because you know, these horrible awful things do happen.
That goes along with responsible pet ownership as a whole. You've got to think about that for, you know, in all your financial planning and everything else that you do for your animals, if you have them as part
and,
of your
and
family.
Your will, exactly. Like what?
Yeah,
you know,
you've got
what
to think
happens.
About what happens to them.
Exactly,
because if something happens to you, who's going to take care of them? Somebody's gonna.
Gus and Nubs are going to America. They're going to the grandma. No, it's already sorted.
Granny in America.
Gus is going to be a California boy. No, he's not, because that means I'm dead. Okay. So, Nolene, I've always admired you as a vet, because you've always had. I don't want anything, Gus. So, Nolene, we studied at Ornish to put together. She did veterinary, obviously, and I did veterinary nursing. And she now has the prior. I don't know if it's a blessing or a curse that she is Gus's vet.
Oh,
so, whilst I am a qualified veterinary nurse, when it comes to Gus, I'm an absolute retard. I took Gus rushing into Nolene the one time because he had very bad bloody diarrhea, and I was convinced he was dying of parvovirus. Even though he's had all of his vaccinations, I was convinced. So Nolene is very good at treating...
calming the storm.
Expect the worst.
Treating Gus and dealing with my meltdown. But I've always admired you as a vet, because you've been so active in animal welfare. And you really do it from the goodness of your heart. Mm. And I think that's, you know, so often vets get such a bad rap of that they're all just money grubbers or
all in it for the money.
Exactly.
Even though there isn't really that much
there's
money.
There's no money. And no sleep.
There's no sleep.
What, highest suicide rate?
Yeah, you didn't see Helene's Ferrari parked outside there. Yeah.
Oh, I wish. it's a profession with the highest suicide rate sort of globally. It's quite scary actually, and you know, luckily we've started a bit of a Facebook page to support vets, you know, vets supporting vets, and we can get on there and say, hey guys, I had a bad day, or you know, and everybody's sort of can share their experiences and help you out. Just remember that next time you go into your vet, don't give them such a hard time.
Exactly.
go give your vet a hug.
Yes, I like
that. I appreciate that.
No, and I mean, that's the thing. Vets generally became vets because they love animals.
Exactly. Just remember, we do. We
and you study
really,
long.
Really do love
the,
animals.
You know, the study is, it's a very long,
it's a long
course that you do.
Difficult
you have to
course.
Learn every single, you know, humans learn one species. Mm. Human doctors, they learn one species. You have
That's
to learn
right.
cows, dogs, cats,
chickens,
yeah. horses, you know, horses. All sorts of different. And each animal has got completely different things.
Just don't take Nalina a horse.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yes, no. Yeah. Nalina, Phelan's vet.
There's no horses.
There's no
horses. I like horses, but from a distance.
pretty to look at.
Yeah.
So what's the strangest thing someone's brought in? Strangest animal?
I think, we see a lot of exotics now as well.
Unfortunately.
So, yeah, unfortunately. So, yeah, we were talking about bats earlier. I've seen little baby bats that we had to sort of hand feed and stuff. And I've actually seen a lion at my very first job. We did a lion that had a fight with another lion, and we had to clean up wounds and stuff. And then you get your iguanas and your... which is also
poor,
a bugbear for Ainsley, you know.
Poor maligned.
That's bearded also, bearded dragons and stuff.
And the funny thing is could you agree that about 98% of every single exotic animal that you see is due to human negligence?
Exactly. Yeah.
But that is a
whole different topic.
Another topic, and I may need a margarita to get through that topic. Now, to wrap up this Christmas show, Tanya, I want your Christmas wish list. I want five things you want our listeners to do, think of, change something to make the world a better place.
Well, I think the exotics is a good topic to have. Mm. I think definitely responsible pet ownership is something that people should really give some thought to and really look at themselves and teach their children spaying and neutering, stopping
yes.
breeding as a whole. They should stop animal cruelty. Mm-hmm. Adopt from shelters,
yes.
As opposed to buying from breeders, and also donate to their rescue
yes.
organizations, please.
I like your wish list. Mm. Knowles?
Well, yeah, very similar to Tanya's, but vaccinate.
Yes.
Please vaccinate your animals. If you are going to get a puppy or a kitten as a gift this year, please make sure that all vaccinations are done. Don't go, the breeder will often say, oh, but all the vaccinations are done. You need to have proof, number one, a vaccination card. Number two, often only the first vaccination has been given, and there's a whole series of vaccinations that need to be done. So chat to your vet, even if you just phone into the offices and just ask them, they've gotten this, what else do they need? Spay and neuter, hugely important. Look after your pet, so make sure that you're getting your kids involved with your your animals, so brushing, feeding, training, stuff like that. Take your dog through to a dog school, get it trained, make sure it can walk on a lead, can sit, stay, do the basics, and is friendly with other dogs, so that you can go through to a dog park and have fun with your dog at a dog park, and then also just, you know, make sure you're feeding good food, and like Tanya says, give to your welfare organizations.
Awesome. Please, listeners, if you can aim to do all of them, maybe just one or two of them. Well, thank you all to my lovely, lovely guests. It's been an awesome, awesome show, and I will be back next week.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, mate.
Thank you.
Cliff Central. The revolution. I've got something important to tell you. CliffCentral.com. Animal Central on CliffCentral.com. This is CliffCentral.com.